We have Dr. Dokun Adedeji, who is a medical doctor. He retired, he's a pensioner. I think he was the medical director of Cadbury. I know he was the director of Cadbury, but I don't know whether he was a medical director. But he's a medical doctor. And since his retirement, he's been trying to see how he can create awareness about drug abuse. Okay, now, so we agreed that Dr. Adedeji will be here. We send out the flyers. Dr. Adedeji called to tell me that he left home at 7 in Yaba. Yeah, he said he left home at 7. And this is 5 after 9. As of 5 minutes ago, he struggled to get to 1004. So hopefully in the next 5 to 10 minutes, yes, he will be with us. Essentially, what concerns some of us about drug abuse is let him come in. Yeah, come on. What concerns some of us really is the menace that drug addicts constitute and the ease with which people have access to these things. Dr. Adedeji is here. Pensioner, I'm Dr. Adedeji.
Very serious,
Jimmy. I described you as a pensioner. Yeah, pensioner. That's what.
That's true.
Now, were you the medical director of Cadbury, or you were a director in Cadbury?
Medical director.
Medical director of
then
Cadbury.
Then I moved to HR to become head of HR.
Head of HR. Right. Yeah. So you have a good CV there. So what prompted you into this drug matter now?
Everybody, when they keep asking,
considering that you don't even drink, you don't do anything.
No, I don't. You know, it's fortuitous the way I got into this, because I never can tell you this is exactly what led me. I think it was just me doing the thing that I like to do to help people out of trouble. And I just walked into it.
Well, okay, so you walked into it. Was there a particular incident that not tilted you in that direction?
No, not exactly, Jimmy. I remember, let me just say this. I got born again, and then I was in church one day. Then one of my pastors, the pastor who started this ministry, then spoke about it, called it Drug Addict Rehabilitation Ministry to help people. And then I just raised my hand that I wanted to be in it.
What, did you raise it consciously, or the Lord told you to raise your hand?
I can't say the Lord told me, but it must be unconscious, because my hand just went up and I thought it was.
And it couldn't go down again.
It didn't go down.
Okay, so let's get down to the thing to discussion that is a bit more general.
Yeah.
And to say to what kind of menace are we looking at with drug abuse now?
Jimmy, without mincing words, we're in a big, big mess.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. I can tell you this offhand. Let me talk from statistics, and then before I talk from practical experiences.
Yes.
In 2018, UNODC did a survey, a drug survey globally, and then they found that the drug use prevalence rate globally was 5.6. Nigeria's one was 14.4%.
What is 5.6? 5.6% of the population?
Absolutely, of the surveyed population.
Wow, and Nigeria is 14?
14.4%, translating to about 14 million people who had used drugs the previous, and that was 2018. When Mr. Stop, the UNODC director in Nigeria, spoke last year's World Drugs Day, he said that must be close to 20 million right now. And I must say to you, from my own practical experience, that must be conservative. Because the rate at which drug is available and is being used should be scary. And I'm sure that's why General Buba Mara is so worried and so captivated in what he's doing. Honestly, Jimmy, if I take you to the drug joint.
Me alone.
Most women.
You go to the joints?
Oh, I go. There's no joint in Lagos that I've never been.
You've been to Juno?
I've been there.
Kalakuta, Mochalashi.
I've been Shida, I've been Akala. There's name the joint.
Really?
I'm telling you, Jimmy. You see,
tell me, what does it look like?
It looks like hell.
And is it a well-lit place? Is it, or is it a seedy place? Is it dark, damp? That's the impression I have of these places.
No, I think you can call it a progression and a spectrum. It depends on the area you go to. If you go to Juno,
yes.
Juno is like a warehouse, and then is dark, is dimly lit, another, you won't see the tips of the drug, the sharking.
Wow.
And then the thing that scares you about, you know, business is going on as usual around about them, but right in there is hell. If you then go to places like maybe Koyi, go to maybe Lekki, you will not see those kind of seediness. You probably see nightclubs where they sell them. You probably see homes where people come in daytime in the afternoon to have a good time. So it depends on the area you visit. But I can tell you, Jimmy, there is no area of Lagos that doesn't have its own drug joint.
So when you went to these places to do what? To try and to talk to them?
Oh, to talk to them.
Look, weren't they kind of violent?
I have never been attacked in the many years I've been going there. Look, Jimmy, you know, that's exactly the concept, the misconception that people have, that anybody who does drug or who uses drug is dangerous.
Wild,
wild, is ready to kill. Not all the time. They are just like regular guys like you and I. One day I went to a particular joint. As I was turning to leave, somebody hailed me. And I said, that must be Ife.
Ah, he said, great Ife.
Yeah, he called me my name.
Doxy.
Doxy,
yes.
when he said Doxy, I looked back and said, can't you remember me? Well-dressed, he's a lawyer. He finished to read law in Ife, and he stays in that joint.
That's where he lives?
Oh, yes. Many of them live there. He starts very innocuously. They go there, they take, they stay, they go home. After a while, they can't go home
anymore. They're too tired to go home.
They don't want to go because the shots, the time they need to take hits are too close together.
So who funds that kind of habit for people at that level?
The thing is, it varies. You know, like when you go to a bar.
Yes.
And you sit down and people say to you, give one bottle to my friend on me.
Yes, yes.
It's the same thing in the joints. It's the same thing in the joint. People sit. People come with big money. I've seen people in joint who bring their cars who don't live with their cars. People who bring a lot of money, their wristwatches, their pops, their parents' things, and sell them in the joints and then just to get hit. And then they can serve their friends. Some people stay there, they go out to scavenge, you know, to harass people on the road and say, oh, I'm just traveling, something happened to me.
Yeah.
And then you give them money, they return. People sell their stuff to be there. I know one pilot who said to me, when he knew that it was in a mess, and when he found out the AC of his room, he needed to sell it.
Hey!
He had sold every other thing in the flat. But thank God today, he's good, he's back flying.
He's flying.
You see, Jimmy, that's another thing we need to get people to understand. There's no profession that is not, represented.
Represented there.
Oh, no, there's not.
Like a mini United
States. It is. It's, I like the fact that you're raising this. I think people should come to a major awareness.
Okay. Because 1 hour is whatever. He's in a state of shock. You can ignore. If he faints, you take care of him. So you still practice medicine, don't you?
I try.
Tobadaku, you revive him. Okay, now, weren't the people who run these joints, weren't they hostile to you?
No, they're not. You see,
the sellers and...
No, they're not. You know, sometimes they say, doctor, ewa kwa
wamoyi.
Wow. Because some have been... Look, I was in a particular joint. I'm trying not to name the joints. I was in a particular joint. A medical doctor was there. So they told me he's a medical doctor. So I called him. He said he's heard about me. This. I said, look, let me make you a promise. If you can clean out, I'll take you back to the board. They'll take you back. He finished in Lagos here. He's been in the joint for close to 10 years. He practices in the joint. What I mean by that, the dealers take him to their homes. And he treats people, they give him money or give him stuff.
Stuff. And take him back home.
No.
Take him back at home.
He lives there. And you know the interesting, Jimmy, the people who sell sometimes want them to be taken away. I don't know why they say so. They say, hey, you have me, come, what you to sue me? And you know, they volunteer them. But you know, the thing is, it's gotten so bad with people that they can't just work out. And then they don't want to leave. Some leave. say, look, I'm tired. I've been here for 15 years. And they see their friends, particularly when I come in, with people that have come, that were in the joints before, that got cleaned out, that they now see. And they say, ah, how did you do it? They say, some of them leave, but quite a number still stay there. Mm-hmm. And the joints are multiplying day in and day out, building more shanties to accommodate more people. It's frightening, it's sickening, it's painful. Because from statistics that I told the other time, they found that between 15 and 29 is the preponderance of youth. And that's an economic sector of any company, of any nation, productive sector of a nation. And we're losing them. And you know, if let me just dwell on the statistics a bit. Out of every 4 drug users in Nigeria, 1 is a female. That's the truth of it. That's the fact. Lagos State has the highest rate of substance use in Nigeria. Southwest has the highest rate in Nigeria.
More than Kano?
Absolutely. These are statistics. It's not conjecture. Is different from statistics.
From statistics, yes.
People say, oh, because they see the shoemaker, they see the maggot, they think the Okada man. It's not. If you look statistically, it's not true. Southwest is 22.4% of substance use, and Lagos State out of 22.4 is 33%. So we look, this is a huge responsibility that we must begin to understand.
But let me ask you, now Ojuno has been in existence since the 70s when I was in school.
Yes.
Probably even before, but I remember Ojuno. How come up till as we speak, those places are still standing?
Because there's still business to do.
And the authorities can't do anything about it?
It depends on the authorities you mean. You know, Marwa is different from regular authority. I can tell you that, I'm saying this of my own accord, I don't think politicians want drugs to be eradicated.
Some of them are drug users anyway.
One, because we're struggling with them to have tests done. That's one. Two, who do they use for a campaign? Have you ever seen a politician in Nigeria who goes to the campaign with his own children? No, they don't. The people you see are the people wielding cutlasses.
They're
already dead drunk. I mean, I was in a particular joint one Sunday morning. One guy was sitting down cleaning his gun. I'm telling you, in the morning, I mean like 7:30. And that's why I said to him, oh boy, I don't need any baba. And you will see the T-shirts they wear. They're the T-shirts of politicians. I wrote on Facebook a while ago when a big politician was having his birthday and he was rocking with his people. So I asked, I said, where are your friends that campaigned for you? They're still languishing.
Languishing, yes.
Yeah. They don't think about them. You see, once you pity General Marwa, he has an arduous responsibility. And unless he has the cooperation of everyone, particularly also the corporate world. You see, when you talk to the corporate world about they need to be involved, they don't want to associate their products with drugs. That's not true. What they don't remember, the competition for their product is taken away by those people. Because those are the people that should use your product, but they're doing something else. So if we all don't get involved in a manner of helping, the situation we're now is we must get... Some of these people don't understand why they're in drugs. Nobody wakes up to say, I want to be an addict.
An addict.
No. It happens surreptitiously. They start, maybe he goes to visit his friend, they lace his drinks, or they put in his food, they put in fried rice, they put marijuana in Indomie, they put all those kind of stuff in different food substances. And the guy takes and he tastes different. And he says, and it comes the next morning. That's how it begins.
Sorry, Indomie, you meant noodles.
Yes.
We don't talk brands.
Oh, okay, sorry. My apologies.
Yes.
I mean, noodles.
Being a retired director of Cadre, I know what you might say next. he has recovered. Baba Didi.
No, he has to recover.
He has recovered. Okay, at some point, I'm going to have to open up the lines. For our callers, I'm sure loads of people would like to, you know, give their comments.
Mm.
The number to call will be 070-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. I have Dr. Dokun Adede. Doctor is not all this PhD, all this honorary doctor. Doctor is medical doctor, studied in Ife. Are you a general practitioner or you're a gynae or
no, more general with a, I would say I have an inkling towards psychiatry. But
oh,
I
okay.
Yeah.
Ah, that then is partially why I think you might have gotten interested in this.
No, no. You see, Jimmy, not really. I think it's just my nature. I mean, we've known each other for a long while.
Yes.
And because I'm saying this, many doctors, practicing doctors, cannot handle substance abuse addiction.
Hmm.
Even when I went to talk to a group of NMA, they invited me, many of them don't even appreciate the dangers we're in with substance abuse. You see, and the danger we have is we must distinguish substance abuse addiction management from psychiatric management. The danger we make, sometimes because most friends don't know where to go, is to take their kids to psychiatric hospitals, and then it becomes a different ballgame. I think we should manage, and many psychiatrists are beginning to do that. Yaba, for instance, has done that.
They have a separate unit.
A drug section. Dr. Joe, Dr. Joe is the head of the drug section in Yaba. In Aro, they also have Unifide and Co.
But the part of the, I heard one time, I don't know if that has stopped, that these drug sellers were able to infiltrate Yaba specifically some time ago. I don't know if that has been caught.
It probably have been nibbed, but there's no way.
There's no way, yes, there. Yes.
You see, because people work there. It's the same like the Nigerian university system. People, they think the students just go to get the drug. They get from the security personnel. They get from the laundry. They get from the kitchen personnel for those who don't go out. And students now set up their own cartel within universities to sell.
Okay, we got to take a short break. I see you're in the center. We'll take a short break. When I come back, I'll continue my discussion with Dr. Dokun Adedeji, and we'll take your comments, so don't go away. You're welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu, and I have Doxy here, Dr. Dokun Adedeji. So, Doxy, what kind of drugs are we looking at? Marijuana?
That's child's play.
That's child's play. Mm. We're looking at heroin.
All kinds. You know, the thing is, people have manufactured themselves. People have created themselves. All kinds of things. For instance, you know, what we did, I mean, for simplicity's sake and for people to understand, is to categorize the drugs we see in Nigeria into four. The first one, we call it socially acceptable, which is like cigarette and alcohol. I don't know whether you read recently that United Nations, they begin to, World Health Organization, they're struggling now how to accommodate alcohol. It's one of the most dangerous drugs in the world. But people don't understand because it's socially acceptable. You don't bother. Somebody gets drunk and says, you can't you last on it. But hey, it is most available and it's most difficult to manage. Because when people stop, they find it everywhere and every social gathering. So they fall back.
They fall back.
Socially acceptable, cigarette and alcohol. Then you go into the illicit drug, cocaine, heroin, skunk, methyl crystals. And then things like, they call it Colorado, they call it Loud, which is also some kind of marijuana.
And they're These are chemical drugs.
Oh, yes. They're chemicalized marijuana. And you see, one thing that people don't understand, those who take it, is that loud, like Colorado, Arizona, they're not frank marijuana. About only 10 to 11% of that is marijuana. The rest is herbs and chemicals. And that's why they're so dangerous. And then you find something like skunk. People think, you know, many people take it. They call it SK. They think it's just marijuana. It's not. It's a combination of dry leaves of pawpaw plus cocaine and marijuana. That's why it's that's why it's more expensive than marijuana. Marijuana is everywhere. Marijuana is like pure water. You can get it everywhere. If you walk down, we can walk down this street, we will find where they sell it.
Oh, yes.
If we're not careful, it will become so commonplace that people smoke it even in the houses. People now smoke some marijuana that don't smell. They've been deodorized so that you can smell. So you won't say, ah, what is smelling in the toilet? So, and then you leave that, you then go into prescription drugs like Tramadol, like Refnol, like codeine containing cough syrup. You know, the thing is...
Glue.
That we call it miscellaneous. Miscellaneous because you can't call it a drug. How can you call glue, rubber, plastic... Can you call it a drug? Petrol. Petrol. You know, people take petrol.
They drink it or sniff it?
No, no, they sniff it. I knew a girl, I met a young girl who told me her sister, anytime they go to buy petrol, stand by the dispenser to sniff. If you notice the Okada people when they are riding, they bend over their tank. They sniff. Rubber, glue.
I once had KG Hamilton, who is into this business.
Oh, yes. I know KG.
KG said that they even sniff soakaways.
Oh, I just want to go to that. No, soakaway is even still better than pit latrine.
Shalanga?
Yes. They'll open it in the morning and sniff it. The soakaway they do, or even they don't find that, they go to some gutter that have not flowed for a long time. They pack out the stuff. Put it in a mound, put fire to it, and sniff it. And when you then go into, when I say miscellaneous, there's a particular one in the north called Zakami seed. NDLA is still analyzing the constituents of it. It's a psychoactive drug, but it's naturally occurring. And then in the southwest, there's something called Gegemu. Gegemu is a naturally occurring plant. People plant it to drive snake. It has fruit, rough fruit. The gegemu, the leaves they will pluck, they will boil like the boiling vegetable. It's extremely potent. So what they do, they decant it, and then they give you little drops in parties. And then the fruit, they dry it and grind it and sniff or put in drinks. All kinds of things.
So how do we tackle this menace? Are you aware of what the NDLEA is doing?
Oh, I am. I'm one of the committee members for Marwa. It set up a special purpose committee. I happen to be a member on it, and I know a lot of things that it's doing. And it's sitting down, we're putting statistics together, we're putting all these substances that we're seeing and analyzing them. That's why it's working out policies to do something. And now it's putting emphasis on drug demand reduction. Even as well as they're doing that in
the... Is the emphasis more on the criminal side, criminality, or advocacy?
I think it's shifting to advocacy. It's changing the direction. You know, we have said, and it's being done now, not to criminalize use. If you criminalize, you are punishing the victim. So what we should do is advocacy. Let people make informed choices about what they decide to do. If somebody sees and he still says, I want to take, then he bears the consequences. But I have seen since Marwa came that there was a particular woman that was caught. He asked them to release her because she was a user. And then again, she was caught. Then he said, look, let's take her into rehab. But don't take her to court. You can't be taking the user to court. He's suffering already that he's using. If you not put him in jail, you make him worse.
Yes.
He learns other things apart from substance abuse. And then even there, he will find...
But what I'm told is that with drug abuse, the whoever is to be rehabilitated has to have that will.
Is a better way.
In the first instance.
We get better result with the person who has willingness. Because it's like in psychiatry, if a psychiatry patient comes to you and he says, There's nothing wrong with me. He lacks insight. You are not likely to get absolutely. But if somebody comes and says, look, like people that we take in our ministry, they come, they say, look, I have a drug issue and I need help. Those people already, you know, you can help them. And so whatever you then tell them to, they do. But if somebody comes and says, there's nothing wrong with me, I don't know why they're bringing me here, you can't get results.
Okay, here is where. Do you have a place to
Yes. We have two centers, actually.
Who are we now?
Kadam. I'm involved in an NGO. It's a Christian NGO called Kadam. We rehabilitate drug addicts.
Do you take fatties and...
Anyone. Look, you see...
Okay. I'm just asking, these are the questions that people are going to ask
it's
me.
It's good that you are asking, Jimmy.
Mm.
Drug has no respect for religion.
Yes.
Has no respect for ethnicity. Has no respect for status. So as long as you are willing to seek for management, we will take you. As long as we see the willingness. And we take people twice a year. We have another center where we take students, rusticated students, and then graduates and workers for a 3-month program. And then the other one we have in Ekpe is for 1 year.
If you keep them for 1 year, can you give us very quickly what they go through? Is it just counseling or is there some...
No, it's like a school. What they do, the first 2 weeks we don't do anything with them. We let them jones. Some of them...
The difficult part.
That is a difficult part. That sometimes some can't, they leave. And one of the things, we don't use medication to treat their joints. We call it cold turkey. But we give them supportive therapy. In case you're vomiting, in case you're stooling, you can't do this, we keep you. And we keep them just immobile for like 2 weeks. Thereafter, they come into awareness. And then they start classes. They wake up, they do their personal devotion. They do collective devotion. Then they go to classes where we take them through spiritual and secular things, and after 6 months they go into vocational training. We've just been registered by the federal government and the Board of Technical Education to offer them certificates. Yes,
which is good. So they can,
when they leave, they can then continue and improve themselves. You won't believe that some people do jump
from there
and they go into universities. We've had
but what's the rate of those who have done it and have come back? Should we say gone back?
No, they relapse.
Yes.
The thing is, I can tell you, let's say out of 10, we have about 3 or 4 relapsing. But you know, one thing we know is relapse sometimes is a part of management. It's a part of the recovery process. You expect it. You expect it. So you don't close your eyes, you don't stigmatize them. Some people, is about second, third time, they then get a grasp of themselves. They say, no, for real. But so you need, and one thing that people don't understand, relapse does not come only from that person. It comes from the family, it comes from the society. Because if somebody finishes and he wants to go back, they say, last time. And you know, when those things, it demoralizes them. So we must continually show love. And when I say second chance can be 4 times.
You keep taking them.
You keep taking them. But you find out, I've seen people who, after a second, the big stuff today, I can't be mentioning them.
But I had a friend, God bless his soul, he passed away recently. Sometime during his life, he was practically on Broad Street with no shoes. And by the time he died, it was one of the biggest things that ever happened in this country.
I don't need
to mention his name. But he was a very, had he been alive, he might have been somebody you could use. Because he's always willing to... talk about it.
And then help people.
And help people.
From people who have graduated from us, they set up what they call the alumni. So they now do around helping their friends. So like a support group.
But you won't get that kind of support from those who are into this business, though.
No, of course not.
Do they try to sabotage what you're doing?
No, they don't, because they're big stuff. They don't get involved with us, so we also leave them. You see, one thing that people must know about the drug trade is not all these people they catch at the airport that are the problem. They are just moves or your minions who carry out responsibilities. The big people. Did you see Honduran Prime Minister, President, who's going to be extradited? Those are the kind of people who do the drug business. Not all the small people. As long, you see, the thing that NDL is doing, as we catch them, is not because they want to be punished. They'll be punished, but it's also probably to lead us
to
the bigger fish.
How long is Marwa's tenure? I think about 4 or 5 years.
Yes, about 4 or 5 years, and he spent some. I just hope that he gets all the support he needs. He means well, and he wants.
Would you anticipate any form of sabotage from within?
It's not impossible. To me, it's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
It's not.
But do you think that we should examine some of our politicians for?
It's one of the things we're debating. We had a meeting when we went to Abuja about this and presented it. I think every public officer should submit himself to drug tests. There's nothing. If we can say students should do, why should we run away as politicians, as leaders?
Mm.
We should show examples and then get it done. Look,
once. So what do you do? Sorry, you take their blood sample?
No, urine most times. You do you give them a specimen bottle, you check it, and then you find what.
So just through you, and that test takes about how long?
Within 10 minutes, it's done.
So you tell him, sit down, sir. Let us check.
Let's do you. You see, the
some people not go.
They won't. They won't. You know, they won't because of stigma. They won't.
No, apart from stigma. stigma because they don't want people to know.
To know.
No, yes. Leave that one. You know.
I know.
Oh, yeah, me. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, how are you? Who's calling?
Chief Lokwe.
This is Lokwe. How are you, sir?
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, doctor.
Morning.
Yeah. I think musicians also, they promote all this drug use also when they sing. I remember that time. I think that was a Congo song. It's nice. He sang this song. Thank God you mentioned that thing. I wanted to call in to mention. Gege mude ye, mafuku shere. Awa ala kori bi te ko on taki ti shere. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
He said something. He said it in that song that Gege mude ye, don't play with death. You understand? So I think musicians, those type of people using it, they are singing about it. Like now, if anywhere I see that Gege mude, when he sang that thing, anywhere they are doing anything, and I hear Gege mude, I just remember that, Mafi Kushilego.
Okay, thank you very much. What he says is if we can get, I think there's a lot of that being done, but also there's also the flip side where you do find that some of our other musicians are pushing people in that direction.
You know, to
be do you summon them to talk to some of them?
It's difficult at a level, but I know something is being done to put the artists, the all these Nollywood and all this, to put them together to help. Because if we're not careful, from what the gentleman said, the rave of our young people for those musicians also lead them. Hardly would you find somebody in the music industry who doesn't. Hardly would you find producer, all this. Because the environment of their work,
yes,
makes it easy for them.
And it's readily available.
It's readily available. And people come to the studio with it.
Let me ask a bizarre question. Shock people. Do you think it's sold in traffic?
It's sold everywhere, Jimmy.
But is it sold in traffic?
I'm sure it will be. No, it is. Let me tell you this area. There's a place when you drive, you don't need to park. I won't mention the place. They run to you. They know and then they give it to you.
That's the standard all over the world.
So the thing is, it's sold in tribe, but I'm not sure whether, like, I think that's the point that
some
we need.
Some kid here.
Oh, possible. If you can go to a nightclub and as you're sitting down, they put in a tree and then they offer you, then of course, only kid here. The thing now that you've raised that we probably should begin to look at it. Do they sell it in traffic?
Hawk it in traffic.
Like,
as they're buying sausage.
I'm sure they probably will do something like marijuana in traffic. Because that one is easy to buy. And then maybe 5 wraps for 100 naira, and then you can just move on. And it depends. It will be in some areas.
Yeah.
There's a particular area around this island they call Igbo headquarters. You will get it like this. And I'm sure they probably will be hawking it.
The part that I find so, so surprising are the same areas we've been talking about since I was a kid. Ujuno. Shita. Akala. No, what's the most one? Akala. The same houses, the same joints, day in, day out.
It then brings out this issue of advocacy. And also the fact that substitution work. if, for instance, the people selling it can be lured to do something else productive, maybe not necessarily as bringing more. You know, the drug trade brings a lot of money.
So
for you to give them something
is high.
Yeah, to get, you know, that was what America did in Afghanistan. They came and said, look, we will subsidize your agriculture and take you away from opium. The moment they left and the Taliban's going, you know, the GDP was promoted by opium in Afghanistan, even some South American countries. So the thing is, this is something, you know, one thing that I've been saying and that is beginning to happen is, can we sit down and look at the dynamics of substance abuse and drug trade? Not just jump around, knee-jerk reaction. No, we will never get an answer. We need to sit down, understand the trade, understand what goes on. It is only then we can do something. You know, the NDLA itself discovered about 27 to 33 laboratories in Nigeria where they manufacture mpiri or whatever they call it.
Yes.
So you can...
So what did they do to these places?
They close them down. But you know, these are places that you can set up easily. It doesn't have to be big. The man that they called, I think Asaba or somewhere, he brought in Colombians, four of them, as consultants.
Ah!
Yes. And so you would then...
He
called them consultants. There were four of them. You see, you see, when we talk about drugs, we should not talk about it in the periphery of glamour, in the periphery of, we must talk about it, how do we understand?
Hard facts.
Facts, and understand it, the dynamics, how it works, how it operates. Because if we don't, they will penetrate every facet of our economy. The politician, and then even politics, then they become the big shot. And then we are
some of them already the big shots.
Uh-huh.
So we have a terrible situation on our hands.
No, we do.
We really need to ask God to assist you and your like in the things that you're doing. So can we conclude that it can never really be wiped out?
No, drug can never be wiped out. We can reduce it.
But you see, unemployment and other things make it more attractive.
Oh, yes. And the way the economy works and the society.
Okay, let's take about 2-3 more calls and then that will be it. Hello, good morning. Hello.
Hi, Jimmy.
Morning, sir.
Morning, hi. It's Devo speaking.
Who?
Devo.
Oh, Devo, how are you?
I'm fine, though.
Yes.
Great topic. I think you'll need maybe 2 or 3 weeks to do this because the doctor has literally told you the truth. It's an understated statistics. Drugs has wiped off practically half of our youth and our working population. Doctor, I don't know. You didn't mention crystal meth. It's become the biggest thing in the East.
I just mentioned it.
It's a shock that it's, and crystal meth is the worst because most people who get addicted, you can't get back. You lose them
you
completely.
Can't get back.
It's difficult.
With the unemployment and the poverty, and I don't know what we're going to do. I commend Marwa for his work, but the truth is, what do we do about the poverty, let me not call it poverty, the lack of integrity in the system. I always say that the people that they expose, only those that didn't settle. There's so much going on because each week you see them confounding more billions of movements taking place. And it's like, oh, because you didn't settle, we're going to expose you, one. Secondly, and the most dangerous one, is there are some known drug dealers in this country that are supplying the high and mighty who have laundered their images as socialites.
Yes.
Everybody knows them. They're in our faces. What are we going to do about these people? Because if we cannot call it out, it will continue. Jimmy, so that you know, how is this sold in traffic? They lace cookies. Go online, check where they sell brownies, cookies. Yep. Brownies that we used to believe was cake.
Yes.
Now a known channel for moving drugs nationwide. Is bought online easily. It's unfortunate, but this is the issue that Nigeria is going to deal with in the future years to come. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Devo.
It's threatening.
Look, Jimmy, I'm telling you, he's just said it. This matter of drugs is not a one-day thing. It's raised a few things, including crystal methyl crystal, is so pervasive. I don't want to be mentioned in the area. That's why the East... they're very worried about it. It's called ice on the street. It looks like ice, truly. And you know what it does? When people take it, they don't sleep. They can stay away for 3 days. They're very energetic, and they will not eat. And they can be doing anything. Young people. And he said it, the brown is, you know what Marwa discovered? They found that many of the people doing dispatch, they are delivering drugs. So they've opened some of the dispatch boxes and caught some. The brownies, the cakes, they put it in cakes. They put it in biscuit. They put it in something like bribery. They'll cut it open, mix it in it with tramadol, and then seal it back and sell it like cakey thing to students. They sell it in fruits. They call it scoochies. And so you can begin to understand that.
And they usually start by giving out free samples.
Of course not.
So you better watch out for those things. Thank you very much, Dr. Adedeji.
My pleasure, Jimmy.
It's always a pleasure to have you. We'll be bringing you back from time to time.
Not a problem.
Because it's not going to wipe out in my own lifetime or your lifetime.
No.
No, it's something we're going to have to. But let us see at least if we can control it.
I'm sure we can.
Yes. I mean, from the simple back days of selling marijuana in Moshalashi area and so on and so forth, and a bit of what you know, and selling mangani. Look at what we have on our hands 30 years down the line. So we got to go.
Thank you,
okay?
Jimmy. Thank you.
I'll be back tomorrow, 9 o'clock. The tickets are here. Stand by. Don't touch that dial.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.